Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Belton Johnson, our game day analyst, will be up at 5 o'clock to look back at the BC Lions and the Rough Riders game from Saturday. And as predicted by yours truly, the Riders got a win over the BC Lions. You might remember me. I was quite confident in the Rider victory over the BC Lions last week. One of the only people on the show that I think was saying that the Riders have a good chance to go into BC for a win, Locker. You might remember that from last week.
Chance, can you grab my waders? It's getting a little thick in here.
You don't need to go back to last week's show to fact check anything. It's fine. But up next, the Edmonton Elks. And I'm telling you, I have just impressed Locker. There is many things I forget on a day-to-day basis. Eating, for example. I'll forget to do that. General, you know, task that we do daily here with the Green Zone. I'll forget to do
daily hair maintenance.
Don't know what the hell happened today. Anyways, I wish I had your problem, which is
I don't have to think about it.
You never have to think about it on hair maintenance. But I did impress him because I rattled off Dave Campbell's number like that earlier today. From 5 years working together. Still haven't forgot that cell phone number, Dave. Locked in there. I know that one, and we haven't worked together for 16 years.
He totally rattled it off. And quite quickly, I might add. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I'm like, hold on, that's not his number. And he goes, here, look. And I was like, yeah, there's an issue. I have an issue with that, considering your lack of ability to live your life day to day, but you have...
One of the only might be the only cell number, not only one. Like there's few, but for some reason, Dave, yours is one of those cell numbers I will never soon forget. I won't rattle it off here on the Green Zone. I don't want to give your phone number up out publicly.
Dave, do us a favor, change it. Just get a new number.
No.
Why would I do that? Why would I do that? And make myself work more and work harder. Work smarter, not harder.
Dave Campbell.
It is an easy cell phone to remember. And yes, you do sometimes forget to eat, but when you do, we have to wait a while for you to finish eating.
Yeah, there's that. I'm just deliberate. That's all. But Dave Campbell, analyst of 880 Chet, here on the Green Zone. Who's starting a quarterback for the Edmonton Elks on Friday night?
You want me to give you a prediction? Because that's all I can give you right now. And I could be very wrong, and I could be also very right. I think it's Cody Fajardo.
What?
Oh, wow.
No, really? What gives you that prediction?
Were you at practice today?
I was not at practice, but I had to do sports on our afternoon show, and the Elks practice in the afternoon because this morning was their annual Monday morning magic at K-Days. So they moved the practice to the afternoon. I'm doing sports, but Morley was there. And he said it was a 50-50 rep split to this point. And it was all throughout the practice, through every period of practice where they did team drills. It was Cody Fajardo and Trey Ford splitting reps. Like, here's what I think.
Will they just split reps then on Friday?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think there's a competition going on for that spot on Friday. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe that. An internal competition right now. And I think it's mainly to push Trey forward a little bit. And it's also, I mean, Cody Fajardo's sitting on the bench, and this is an accomplished quarterback, right? So, and I think in Trey Ford's development, and look, the word development in year four of a quarterback who has been very, you know, it's been very interesting to see how he's been managed / mismanaged, where this year he has been the starter since the day one of training camp, and it's a 1-4 record. And trust me, that's not a record that strictly falls on the quarterback. And I agree with that statement with Trey Ford. It doesn't all fall on him. However, he is a dice roll. He is a coin flip. He is a dart throw. What I'm trying to say is you never know what you're going to get out of Trey Ford. Mm-hmm. And the first 7 quarters of this season were not good. The next 9 quarters were overall fairly good, pretty good actually. And then the last game against the Lions were not good at all, where he went from a perfect QB rating of 158.3 to going 4 of 12 for 34 yards and an interception, which is one of the worst stat lines in the history of the league, right? So, and, you know, we talked about it on the postgame show 8 days ago, and, you know, Blake Dermott, who's our in-game analyst, who played for the team and won two Grey Cup championships, he said, there's nothing wrong in the development and progression of Trey Ford that maybe he takes a step back. And this isn't like stripping him of the job, but maybe he needs to sit back and watch Cody Fajardo, who has been an excellent mentor. I mean, we had Cody on the postgame show and not Trey Ford. And to hear Cody talk about Trey and talk about the team and the current situation, it was really, really refreshing. And it was really, you know, just kind of neat just to hear a veteran speak the way Cody, you know, speaks. And you guys know how, you've dealt with him for, you know, especially you, Jamie, for mm-hmm. you know, many years in Regina. So, I mean, Cody is honest with you, right? And I just think right now this team needs a little more stability. And I think Cody Fajardo gives you a little more stability. And does it last for the whole season? I don't know. But I think for Friday, this is what the team needs right now, is Cody Fajardo to start.
So, Dave, you're pretty close to it. And I would think that the coaching staff and management of the Edmonton Elks aren't going to be swayed by public opinion. But let's do a sort of a little dance in that, you know, side of the dance floor. If you were, hypothetically speaking, going to run a poll that said, Trey or Cody for Friday, where do you think that would fall with the fan base?
Be pretty close to even.
You think so? And okay.
I think it would fall, you know, plus or minus percentage points from 50%, right? I think the public opinion on Trey Ford, it's kind of been shaken a little bit by, you know, those that obviously there's been people that don't believe that he's ever going to be a starter. But there's been people that have been supporters of him that are going, whoa, I'm just not seeing what I expect to see out of Trey Ford in year number four. And there's some that are just, you know, they're staunch supporters of Trey Ford. It should be Trey all the time. So where last year, if you're asking me, if you're going to ask me that question about McLeod Bethel-Thompson versus Trey Ford, 95% Trey Ford is probably what it would be. Or close to, or maybe not that high, but you know what I mean? It'd be overwhelming that Trey Ford starts. No, I don't think it is. I think it's a legitimate debate. I think it's a, you know, it's a question that the organization itself with management and the coaching staff are debating. And obviously we're seeing a competition play out, and will it last for, you know, maybe one more day of practice? Their last day is on Wednesday before they travel to Regina on Thursday, but this plane is going to land soon, right? So the court of public opinion, I think, is pretty split on Trey Ford and Cody Fajardo right now and who should be at the helm.
Dave, do you understand what you've just done to me right now in this moment, that with your prediction that Cody Fajardo is potentially going to be the starting quarterback?
You have to rewrite your CFL.ca piece. That's what you have to do.
Well, no, I'm still picking the Riders. But it's never happened. Cody hasn't played the Riders yet. Since he left after 20, he has not started a game. He was on the sideline once as the backup, recovering from an injury, but this has never happened. So for you to say that it could happen on Friday, this is an interesting story, much more interesting storyline if Cody Fajardo is running out of the tunnel as the opposing quarterback on Friday night for the Edmonton Elks. And it's baffling. Not baffling. Fans are fickle, right? Because Trey Ford was the guy. So clearly they've run out of patience with Trey Ford. Not completely, but they are running out of patience with Trey Ford.
No, let me edit that. I don't think Trey Ford is done. I think, though, there are certain expectations of Trey Ford that they want to see him execute, whether that's on field, obviously on field and off field, but they're not getting enough out of Trey Ford right now. So does taking a step back help his development? Mm-hmm. You don't know. You know, I heard this today from someone that I was talking to, is if you don't start Trey Ford, you have lost him forever. And I'm like, that's an extreme statement, but I understand why people say that. But listen, this regime is not like the Chris Jones regime or even the G. Roy Simon, Jerry Jackson regime as far as how they're treating Trey Ford. Ed Hervey and Mark Killam and even Chris Morris, the president and CEO, have been honest with everybody in that organization, including Trey Ford. Whether you like the honesty or not, everyone knows where they stand. And the expectations have been laid out for Trey Ford. You know, and this isn't like we're going to play you just to play you, to develop you. Because, I mean, it's 4 years in, you know, and I think there's some good things and there's some concerning things. But overall, from the complexion of the organization, who I do believe the overall look, the global landscape or the global projection of this season as far as the club was concerned, is they were going to have bumps in the road because this is a brand new program. But I think that there are some factors that have been at play. And look, the number one defense, but the number one reason this team is 1-4, the defense has been absolutely atrocious. That's the number one reason.
Well, I was going through the stats with Locker here on the Green Zone. For clarification on what Dave's talking about, a rank of the defense, 9th, points, 9th, opposition net yards, 9th, passing, 9th, sacks, 9th, interceptions, 9th, knockdowns, 9th, forced fumbles, 9th, total turnovers created, 9th, second down conversion record, 9th. That nobody's winning football with that defense.
There's 9 teams in the league, right?
Well, and there's frustration, right? I think there's frustration that it's been this difficult. They are 1-4. I think there is some concern about the coaching staff. Now, I don't think anyone's getting fired on defense. JT Sherritt's not losing his job as defensive coordinator. I don't see a coach losing their job either. I don't think they're bringing anybody in. They're going to work with it. But look here, for example, I've heard this comment. It's like we've never seen an RPO before, right? and basically the sentiment is, let's just figure out how other teams are stopping it, and let's just do what they're doing. Football, like sports anyway, is a copycat thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the D-line's played better than what has been shown. I think up front, they've been pretty good overall, except they haven't had results. They haven't finished plays, right? So, and their secondary, and not all the secondary, but you look at the boundary side, and they've really struggled. You know, and Devontae Bynum's been their short corner. He's out for 6 games, maybe. He's on the 6-game injury list. So J.J. Ross, who's a, you know, 6'3", you know, tall glass of water, is going to be playing, you know, on Friday. So, you got Cordell Jackson there. You got Royce Metier, who's a veteran, but, you know, he's on the 1 game, and I don't think he's played particularly well. So Traylon Garnes, who's likely going to play there, who's been their Sam. So we expected better from the defense, but my gosh, I just didn't think it was going to be this difficult. And I do think execution has been a part of it, but I do think, you know, there's the youth on the coaching staff that's kind of showing up on defense in a negative way.
That's Dave Campbell, analyst here on the Green Zone. Will it be Cody on Friday? It'll be interesting to see if that's the case.
You're not gonna let me ask that question, are you?
No, I'm not. We have no
nothing
time.
To do with you, Dave.
That has nothing to do with you. I was joking in the Green Zone Lounge about. Could you imagine if the Prime Minister of Canada ever said what about the Elks? What Trump said about the Commanders. And so I don't think we want to delve into that one here on the Green Zone today. Dave, you have a great one. Can't wait to see you in a couple of days here in Regina.
I look forward to perhaps another interesting halftime discussion between you and I.
Yes.
Because we've had several over the last few years because the Elks have come in and have spoiled the party.
Yes, so they have.
We'll see.
Yes, they have. Haven't lost in Regina in 3 years, as a matter of fact.
What?
Yeah. They've had some good luck in Mosaic Stadium. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Could you imagine if it's Cody Fajardo starting at quarterback Friday? He's never taken a snap against the Rough Riders since he left in 2022. And amongst all the drama and all the chatter and all the rumors and all the heat he took, he was on the sideline in Saskatchewan. They, as the backup, he was rehabbing an injury, and Davis Alexander was there. But he hasn't taken a snap yet. Could it be Friday replacing Trey Ford? Do you think that's the right decision, Locker, to go with Cody over Trey?
No.
Right now?
I think I would stick with Trey. There was forward momentum at the beginning of the season until last week. And I think you have to give him a little bit of room to make, like, have a bad game. Like
he definitely had 2 weeks ago before their bye week. That was
I'm just
atrocious.
Retweeting your picks from last week.
You don't have to. You edited it, didn't you? You changed my pick to BC.
Yeah, like anybody would believe that. Anyone listening, just a quick poll around the room here. You think Locke has the ability to change that? pulled up paint on his phone and away he went.
You seem like an adept photo editor, Locker? No? Okay.
I barely put my pants on properly this morning.
Time out for the Green Zone 1 minute drill. The latest in sports, the Jays against the Yankees at the Rogers Center, as the Yankees will try to seek revenge for that sweep from a few weeks ago. And the coaching staff for Team Canada's hockey team on the men's side will be the same as it was for the Four Nations face-off at the Olympics. Bruce Cassidy, Rick Tocchet, Peter DeBoer joining John Cooper as the head coach. Now, coming up next here on the Green Zone, open line time. Do you find Scotty Scheffler as annoying as Locker? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the Ear in the Green Zone on this Monday afternoon. I hope you're enjoying your day. Thanks for spending some of your time with us. Belton Johnson still coming up to assess the Rough Riders' win over the BC Lions as the Riders back in the win column, and they have the Edmonton Elks coming in. Dave Campbell was just on earlier this hour. He's predicting and leaning, as is Dwayne Ford. Just saw him on TSN. He's also leaning that it'll be Cody Fajardo starting for the Edmonton Elks. He's never taken a snap against the Riders since he left after the 2022 season.
Based on conversations that you and I have had about Cody, I get the sense that he didn't leave on the greatest terms.
No.
And
he did not.
What do you think the reception will be like on a Friday with him coming in?
The Rider fans, they did the little, because he was on the field when Montreal came here last year. Davis Alexander started. He won that game for the Alouettes. And Cody wasn't quite healthy yet, but he did serve as like the third string quarterback. But he was in uniform and he stood on the sideline. He did warm ups. People, you know, and they gave the little, hey, Cody Fajardo, welcome back. And yay. But you never got the moment to do to Cody what you did to Henry Burris as a fan base. Because I remember what Rider Nation did with Henry Burris. And every time he visited as the away quarterback, he came in, Henry! Hey! Like, I was one of you, to be quite honest. I was still drinking beer in the stands back in those days. Hadn't quite jumped on the radio yet. But
those are good days, eh?
Yeah, those are fun. The next day, wake up with,
yeah, how's it going?
Lost my voice chanting Henry during the 2023 Grey Cup, or the 2013 Grey Cup, sorry, when he was starting for the Tiger Cats, too. I'd be interested to see if because it's 3 years now, right?
Yeah.
That wound.
That's
healed.
Why I'm wondering.
Cody's already won a Grey Cup. They've kind of moved. The coaching staffs has changed everything. I'm curious if Rider Nation would still have that vitriol on Cody Fajardo for some of the things that he was talking about on, oh, woe is me, and the fans are hard on me, and it's tough being the quarterback here, and shucks. And a lot of fans, that rubbed them the wrong way. Like, suck it up and go out and play, right? So if he is the, I'll be interested to see if the heat is on him, because if he would have, in 2023, if he would have started for the Alouettes coming in here, Cody, like, you would have had it. It would have been full bore. I'll be interested if he is the quarterback to see what it's like on Friday night.
I have faith in Rider Nation.
I might just leave the press box and go down and start those chants, by the way. I'm kidding. As Cody and I had our moment after the Grey Cup when he won in the locker room where I shook his hand and congratulated him because I was one of his biggest critics. I said, get this guy out of town. And I was like,
what did he say when you went up to him? Because
he said, I appreciate it. He's like, I appreciate that coming from you. I appreciate it. And I was like, hey, I have to suck it up. You know what I said, and I know what I said. And now you've proven everybody wrong who said you couldn't win. You're now a winner. Congratulations. Shook his hand. Have a great night. He did a, 10-minute interview with me after that game.
That's good.
So he's a class act. Like, I have nothing personally against Cody Fajardo. He's a classy, nice guy. But I just felt there was something missing there. But hey, Montreal moved on from him pretty quick to Davis Alexander. So even Jason Moss went, we're going to go with Davis over Cody on this one. Will it be Cody on Friday? Will fans still have that heat? I'll be interested. We're opening up the fan line, 1-877-332-8255.
And what you have to do is get on the phone lines to participate.
The Green Zone.
It's your phone call.
877-332-8255.
We're going to show them a real good time.
Don't hold nothing back. This is it.
The Fan Free-for-All.
As we continue on the Green Zone, as we open up the fan line, 1-877-332-8255.
This is an interesting perspective. Quick text. Cody had to go. However, the difference between Henry and Cody was Henry left. Cody got sent away. So there is some difference.
Don't get me started on the Henry Burris garbage.
But I'm saying when a player chooses to leave and sort of does one of these to the fan base.
Henry Burris did not do that, though. Henry Burris, here we go again. Henry Burris should have been the starting quarterback for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and Roy Shivers told Henry Burris, you're going to have to compete for the starting job, even though he more than proved that he had the you-know-what to be the starting quarterback. And guess what happened? And free agent Calgary said, you're our starting quarterback, no ifs and doubts. Here's a bunch of money that Roy's not going to pay you. So he went to Calgary. Anybody would have done that. What? I have to compete and you're going to offer me like half what Calgary's going to offer me to be the number one guy? You're leaving. But it was still fun to chant at Henry Burris anyways.
To be fair, Cody is literally the Mitch Marner of Regina and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So
wow, that is a very interesting analogy.
Is there
actually truth
to that?
Absolutely there is.
And we've talked at length and ad nauseum as well about the Mitch Marner situation, what it is that, you know, he was doing his personality type that brought it on himself. And I think, and you've sort of led me to believe that Cody, you know, should have been a little bit, you know, look in the mirror kind of guy. What was I like? What was my personality like that added to what it was that I got back from that fan base? And there's something to it. Yeah. There's something to it with the Mitch Marner situation, and maybe there was something to it with the Cody Fajardo situation.
There's another text here. All jokes aside, because Kirk said he didn't stand on the sidelines that game. He was always a 1 yard onto the field the whole time with the Alouettes. He was the 13th man, and they never called him for too many men. But all joking aside, I'd cheer him. He didn't do us wrong. We did, the fans. It wasn't his fault. Our O-line was Swiss cheese at the time. There's so many stories. Like Cody Fajardo with that offensive line. Remember Dan Clark's quote, Cody seeing ghosts? Like Cody wasn't doing himself any favors behind that O-line. He was spinning into sacks. He was all sorts of all over the place. So there are those who know ball who go, Cody was at fault for half those sacks. Like he was not helping his O-line. That remember him throwing the receivers under the bus? That didn't help Cody either. When he said it's hard to see other quarterbacks throw it up and their guys come up with the ball,
This is a Mitch Marner thing.
Yeah, Jason nailed it. It's very much where it's like, didn't help him go, and you throw the ball up, and the other
by the way.
What?
You've never done that? That game?
You didn't say
things at the same time?
Yeah, but you didn't you say jinx, you owe me a Coke.
You got to say, is it Pepsi or Coke?
I thought it was always Coke. But anyways, and Cody threw his receivers under the bus, and then he apologized later about it, like the next media availability. His receivers did not go over well with his receivers. Like there are times like that where it felt like it was never Cody's fault, even though sometimes it was Cody's fault. 1-877-332-8255. Dave Campbell laid it out there that it could be Cody for the Edmonton Elks on Friday. David, is there still heat on Cody from the fan base, or is it bygones be bygones? That's a lot of water under the bridge.
Oh, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, I couldn't give one thing about Cody. He's just another quarterback to me. He did some good things while he was here, and he played some crap games while he was here. And I think I would rather see him start, because at least we know he won't run all over the field on us like Trey Ford has in the past, and I don't think he's that much of a better passer either than Trey Ford, and he probably sees the game a little better, and maybe that way, but I'm not scared of Cody Fajardo, and I hope he does start, and I hope we thump him.
Go, David. 1-877-332-8255. Open line time here on the Green Zone with the Monday Fan Free for All. Coming up next, Scotty Scheffler wins the Open Championship on the same week where he questions, does it all even matter?
I don't even know why I'm doing it, to be honest.
And we're asking
you. What does it all mean?
Locker and I are a bit annoyed that he's not a little bit more gracious about the history of the Open Championship and winning that. Are you as upset about Scotty Scheffler, or do you think this is a good, wholesome superstar we need more of that just wants to go home and mow the lawn? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, before the Open Championship, this was Scotty Scheffler on Wednesday.
Yeah, what is the point? You're like, why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis.
And this was Scotty Scheffler on Sunday.
It is the greatest walk in golf, and if you have a four-shot lead, you can enjoy every single step of the way. Hats off to Scotty Scheffler.
I knew he was going to win. And he did! With Scotty Scheffler's fourth major title. We've been wrestling with this conversation. Because Scotty Scheffler is the champion of golf that I don't think the business folk want.
I've said it for a long time. Golf is not how I identify myself. I don't identify myself by winning tournaments, chasing trophies, being famous or whatever it is. Like when I go home, if I go to there's two Chipotles that I eat at home. There's one, well, actually not really one anymore. There's one right where I grew up. It's kind of near SMU's campus. If I was to go to that Chipotle and try to eat nowadays, it would be very difficult for me. There's another one in a different part of town that I'm not going to tell you where it is. But if I go there, nobody recognizes me ever. And so famous is just one of those things.
It's what, like, what is this?
In some circles, like, right now I'm the best player in the world. This week I was the best player in the world. You know, I'm sitting here with the trophy. We're going to start all over in Memphis, you know, back to even par.
Like, got the one of the most historic trophies in golf, but, you know, next week it's just back to even par.
What's wrong? What is going on?
I find that so I find it annoying too. And I've wrestled with this because I said he needs to be more like Tiger. But Tiger's wife chased him down the driveway with a 9-iron after she found out how many women he'd been sleeping with. Scotty, for all we know, and of course, never meet your stars. You never know who a guy actually is. But right now, he looks like a doting father and a great husband. But he couldn't care less about winning the Open Championship. Tiger gave oh my God, did it drive Tiger.
And again, we don't need him to be Tiger. That's what ended
but golf
up happening.
Needs is, him to be Tiger.
But Jamie,
golf needs him to be a superstar. He doesn't need to be the electric, outgoing, stuff.
No, but he needs to actually have an appreciation for what he's accomplished.
When he wins a tournament, it shouldn't look like he can't wait to go home. Like, that's what it looked like yesterday. It's like, yeah, he won. Can we go home now? No, I want a guy collapsing on the green like Rory McIlroy at the Masters, bawling his eyes out to show me that he gives a you-know-what about that championship. Don't you want that?
Yes. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, as soon as you bring in the Tiger comparison, everyone's like, well, what does he need to do, right? Like,
everybody's comparing him to Tiger now. So
you can be a fan of Scottie Scheffler. If that's the type of personality you are attracted to and you're athletes, then you just want them to be low key. That's fine. Me? No. I want you to have some gratitude. I want you to show some passion. I want you to actually appreciate what it is that you've accomplished. And I want you to actually to care about what it is that you do or show some ounce of care for what it is that you do.
I think Scottie cares. Of course he cares. He wouldn't be doing it if he didn't care. But
he doesn't care about what his role is in it.
Well, Jordan Spieth talked to it. Scotty doesn't do the corporate stuff everybody else does. Scotty doesn't do that extra stuff that everybody else does. And if I'm on tour with Scotty and he's not doing that stuff as the world number one, and of course, Scotty already said he's not into inspiring anybody. Oh, I'd want to beat him so bad.
That would drive me crazy. Would you want to work with that guy? Would you want that guy on your team?
No.
Do you want him on the Ryder Cup?
No. Except he's really good at golf, so I guess he kind of do. Time now for the Green Zone 1-Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Jays, Yankees goes tonight. It's our game of the night, by the way, as the Yankees 3 games back. And the coaching staff is the same as the Four Nations face-off for the hockey team on the men's side. Bruce Cassidy, Rick Tocchet, and Pete DeBoer will join head coach John Cooper at the Olympics in Italy. Belton Johnson's assessment on all things green and white next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.